The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
A very good afternoon, Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Gary Brumberg. And like you, I'm in a quandary because I don't know which country has the most variety of different languages. So I look forward to whoever can.
I'm telling you, I need clarity. I need some clarity. I always thought that South Africa, we had quite a few with 11, but apparently not. So somebody has got to sort of put us out of our misery. Huh?
Absolutely.
So, Rolene Marks, today's news. Israel's Foreign Minister, Yair Lapid, will visit Turkey amidst continued security threats. So, what can we expect from this meeting?
Well, the threats that we spoke about last week, in fact, we impressed quite strongly the level of personal threats to any Israelis who were in Turkey at the time or were en route to Turkey to either cancel or to return to Israel with immediate effect. Now, Yair Lapid will meet his counterpart, that's Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu, in Ankara, that's the capital, on Thursday, and we know that they're going to talk about the Iranian threat and the current situation with the safety of Israelis. You know, there have been some harrowing stories making their way to the Hebrew media over the last couple of days. People saying, you know, I was in Turkey, I was at a restaurant, there was some stranger asking the waiter where I was from, and, you know, it made us feel uncomfortable. And when we got the warning, we thought, listen, some things, you know, as we would say in Hebrew, lo beseder, not so good. Others saying, you know, we just received a phone call to not even go to the hotel, but report to the airport and leave with immediate effect. So this is very, very seriously. And even this afternoon, our Prime Minister Naftali Bennett says, you know, Israel has stopped Iranian attacks in Turkey with the help of the Turkish authorities. The suspects, or at least some of them, have been caught. So this is very, very serious. So we can imagine that the two foreign ministers who had just recently met here in Israel, in our capital, Jerusalem, will have a lot to discuss around that particular threat, as well as the overall nuclear threat posed by Iran.
And yesterday, President Herzog spoke to his Turkish counterpart. What was discussed?
Well, what is very nice is that the two presidents seem to be speaking quite regularly. That's our President Herzog and the Turkish President Erdogan. And they spoke at length about this. The president thanked Erdogan for all his efforts, Turkish efforts, to assist Israelis and the Israeli security authorities in ensuring that the perpetrators are tracked down and caught, but also ensuring the safety of our citizens. And President Herzog said to President Erdogan, the threat still remains there. It's not over yet. So, you know, all help and all cooperation certainly is appreciated.
And are there any other travel destinations currently to be concerned about?
There are. You know, we often say that Iran is like an octopus. It does have far-reaching tentacles. And now the Hebrew media reporting earlier today that there are concerns for Israelis traveling in the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Jordan, and Egypt, that they might, or Iranian operatives might try their luck there. So there have been warnings, even in as far as Thailand. Thailand's a very, very popular tourist destination for Israelis, especially Israelis leaving the army looking for some adventure. So we are looking as far and wide as possible. And as Prime Minister Bennett said in his cabinet meeting yesterday, those who try will pay the price. In other words, a not so veiled threat to the Iranians. If you try and hurt our citizens, you will pay a price.
And Russia is proposing a UN resolution condemning Israel for airstrikes on Damascus Airport. Yesterday, Ukraine's ambassador to Israel took out an ad condemning Israel for lack of humanitarian support. support. So what's going on with this, and is Israel becoming a political football as such?
Well, this is my opinion. You know, we've had a few issues with Russia over the past couple of months. We spoke about on this show, you know, the comments made by their foreign minister, Lavrov, very, very offensive with regards to, you know, some Jews are anti-Semites and making comparisons with Hitler. Last week, we spoke about the fact that there was an alleged IAF strike on Damascus Airport. It did cause some damage. The airport wasn't operational for a day or two. The foreign minister summoned the Israeli ambassador for a reprimand and said, quite ironically, I mean, who says we Jews don't understand irony, UK Labour Party? But, you know, accusing Israel of potentially harming civilians or civilian airlines. This is the same Russia that has launched an unprovoked invasion of Ukraine, committing gross human rights atrocities. And they're putting their proposal to the UN Security Council to condemn Israel for this. Now, it's unlikely that the motion will pass. However, this is the United Nations, the theater of the absurd. So, you know, anything goes. But they are trying to, you know, turn away the focus on their crimes in Ukraine by focusing on Israel. So it's absolutely ludicrous and could lead to some serious tension between Jerusalem and Moscow. And then on the other side of the coin, we had yesterday the Ukrainian ambassador to Israel taking out an in one of the Hebrew-speaking newspapers, accusing Israel of not assisting injured troops, and in particular assisting them with prosthetics. Israel is a leader in prosthetic sciences, and this, as you can well imagine, has absolutely outraged Israelis. If you do recall, Israel was the first country, as soon as those tanks rolled into Ukraine, that sent immediate humanitarian assistance. And we're the only country to date that had a field hospital fully operational, helping Ukrainian soldiers and civilians. So this Israelis are seeing is an absolute slap in the face. Many Israelis actually contacting President Zelensky directly via social media and saying, do you agree with your ambassador's opinions and assessment? It is really, really seen as a massive slap in the face for Israel and to Israelis who have worked around the clock to ensure that we send as much humanitarian aid, especially medical aid, as possible.
And the Abu Akleh saga, I see, also continues. And this past week, the Palestinians released a picture of the bullet to Al Jazeera and have made demands of their own. What's actually going on now with this?
Well, this is also just staggering. The Palestinian Authority Foreign Minister Mohammed Shtayyeh has demanded, Gary, he has demanded that Israel hands over the rifle that fired the fatal shot. Now, we still don't know conclusively if Israel was responsible for firing the fatal shot. We haven't investigated or been in a position to investigate either Israeli ballistics experts or American or European ballistics experts to have a look at the bullet. The IDF said, you know, it is possible. It could have come from either side. We're not saying, you know, Israel is absolved as yet, but we can only draw conclusive decisions once we examine the evidence. However, not to be left out of jumping to conclusions, we have the LA Times and, of course, the New York Times, who've issued their reports. I mean, I wish they would be this vocal about other journalists.
Absolutely.
Around the
yeah.
world. But the New York Times says that while they do think Israel fired the fatal shot, they don't think it was deliberate. But they also referred to the Palestinian gunmen as Palestinian men. So you can imagine the kind of exchanges that the New York Times will enjoy in the next couple of days from outraged Israelis.
Absolutely. And That was Rolene Marks with our Israel report. Thank you, Rolene, and have a good evening.